السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, brother Zahir?
Imam Saab, it's an honor and pleasure to have you on our program. And
Imam
Saab, I know you're very, very busy. And I would like to talk to you about your trip to Rome you had recently. So that was quite interesting. If you'd like to enlighten our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Well, firstly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of your listeners. MashaAllah, Iman Radio FM is doing a fantastic job in terms of informing brothers and sisters of the events that are happening around the world, and also has concern for young British Muslims. And from that point of view, I really want to thank you for all the work that you do. The trip to Rome was really interesting. I mean, as Imam, I have met people, you know, celebrities from across the globe, but never I thought that there would be an opportunity to meet the Pope, who is held in such a high regard, by people of all faiths and none. He's obviously Pope Francis, who holds command over, if you like, 1.2 billion. People who believe in Catholicism. So from that point of view, it's a great honor. And the reason I really wanted to meet Pope Francis is because of the work that he has done since he has become Pope. Firstly, we saw around Easter how he was washing the feet of migrants, including from a black community, migrants from belonging to a Muslim community. That goes to show that he's very humble. And actually, during our meeting, I found him very patient, very gentle, very kind, and also humble at the same time. Now, it's easier said than done. When a person has such a high command and is held in such a high regard by people across the globe, you know, it's very hard to be humble and to be washing the feet of migrants and also the Muslim community, members of the Muslim community. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that I think he's been very vocal in terms of interfering in global politics. So he has spoken out against Donald Trump. He has spoken about the economic inequalities in our world, and so all of these things resonate with people of faith, and also in particular the Muslim community.
Imam, so your conversation. What conversation did you have in particular with the Pope?
So there were a number of things I spoke to the Pope about. Firstly, we talked about the interfaith work that we have been doing in this country. You know, there are lots of organizations, small at a local level, a regional level, a national level. I talked about Christian-Muslim Forum. I talked about, the other major organizations which have brought faith leaders together, which have brought faith communities together to build bridges between communities. So I talked about, I shared some of the best practices that we have in this country, and then secondly, I also talked about the fear that sometimes minorities live under. So, for instance, the Muslim community is a minority community in Britain, in Europe, and I talked about Islamophobia, rising Islamophobia, and it is really unfortunate that we live in a multi-faith, multi-belief, multicultural society, and we cherish all the freedoms that we have. But increasingly, we see that Islamophobia and anti-Muslim hatred is on the rise. Certain sections of the media play their part, certain politicians play their part in fueling Islamophobia, and which is not healthy for anyone. We've seen what hatred does. Hatred leads to violence. Hatred leads creates a cycle of hatred and cycle of violence. And dehumanization, unfortunately, has never been a good thing in any society. We saw what happened to the Bosnian Muslims. It was due to hatred of a community that led to elimination and sadly, the genocide of Muslims in Bosnia, in Europe, at the doorsteps of Europe. And, this is what we want to prevent. So I talked about that. By the same token, the Pope also mentioned that the faith communities, in particular Christian communities, suffers violence and hatred in the Muslim world. So he mentioned, for instance, Pakistan, in the Middle East, and so he talked about that as well. And so I mentioned Marrakesh Declaration, which is a recent declaration where imams and leaders and religious ministers came together from across the Muslim world in Morocco. It was held by the, you know, it was organized by the King of Morocco, but it was spearheaded by his eminence, Sheikh Abdullah bin Bia. And we talked about how Muslim communities need to revert to the constitution of Medina, the charter of Medina, which gave people of all faiths, you know, equal rights, you know, according to, as citizens. So, yeah, you know, equality under, you know, law, or equality, you know, in law as citizens is hugely important in all countries. So this is some of the things that we talked about. Then one other thing that we talked about is increasing level of radicalization and extremism that's happening around the globe as well, which is unfortunately leading to violence. We saw what happened on Easter in Pakistan. You know, before that, we've seen in Brussels, in Paris, you know, in Middle East, in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. It's happening, unfortunately, on a weekly and daily basis. And there has to be, you know, people have to come together to put an end to violence. You know, stakeholders.
Imam, so you made a very good, sorry to interrupt you, you made a very, very good point that obviously you went to all the conferences and, reverting back to the Medina Charter, and you talked about, you know, preventing violence. But how practically can Muslims prevent this? Because obviously all these terrorism, you've been very vocal, and all the other imams have been vocal. Obviously, I know that it's nothing to do with Islam at all. So how can we prevent this happening in the media? Because anything happens, they all automatically assume that Muslims are involved. And because somebody goes and says Allahu Akbar, they automatically assume it's a Muslim who's done that. And then you hear this in the media.
Firstly, as you say, that, you know, terrorism leads to violence, it leads to bloodshed, it leads to misery. Now, and Islam is all about peace, brotherhood, compassion. So there's contradiction in terms. They don't go hand in hand. There's nothing that in Islam that sanctions or justifies terrorism. Now, the recent, you know, incidents, recent tragedies and case studies have also shown that there are lots of factors that play play into the hands of terrorists and those who recruit extremists. For instance, socioeconomic factors, you know, the personal factors, and the Islamophobia. All of these are factors that lead to someone being radicalized, someone being recruited for extremism. Now, we cannot deny that there are some people that are misinterpreting the verses of the Holy Quran for their own political aims and gains, because faith gives people a unique passion. And as a result, you know, some people are allowed to a glorified kind of extremism by others using the verses of the Holy Quran. Now, it is up to the majority to firstly distance ourselves. So I'm not saying we need to apologize for those who commit terror, because we've got nothing to do with them, but actually distancing ourselves to explain to the layperson in this country and to everyone else that, you know, Islam and terrorism has got nothing to do with each other. And these, you know, individuals, whether you're going to call them extremists or terrorists, when they commit terror, they might be calling the name of God, but actually they are an insult to God, because God would never condone, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never sanction and justify, you know, bloodshed and killing of other people.
You made a very good point there. I was going to just touch upon that, because you mentioned what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, and you mentioned that, you know, obviously as Muslims we don't need to be apologetic. But in the media, what you find when any incident happens, they always got so-called Muslim representatives who don't actually represent yourself or ourselves. How can we combat that from the media? Because you hear these people who've got no knowledge of the deen, and they always prop up and say, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, but they haven't actually studied the deen, or they're not conversing in the worldly affairs like yourself. So how can we combat that in the media?
So unfortunately, we've been experiencing terrorism for now at least 10 years in this country. There are a number of things I think, you know, practically the Muslims need to do. Firstly, we need to be clear that effectively we are where we are, and there are certain sections of the media that label Muslims as extremists, or is seen as a Islamist extremism, whereas extremism is in every community, and we've seen the rise in the far